Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. My name is John Burns and this is my podcast for people who like the outdoors in Scotland or pretty well anyone else for that matter. It's funny how certain things sort of come round in the calendar. It only seems like 5 minutes ago I was in Fort William at the Fort William Mountain Festival with my little show, Bothy Tales. But the year has turned and we're back there again. So the Fort William Mountain Festival has really become, I think, a really significant date for folk in the outdoors community. And it's when everyone gets together and we meet and we share things and we see what's going on and what's coming and what's new. So I'm really glad to be able to introduce Hannah Francis, who is co-coordinator of the Fort William Festival this year. Hello, Hannah, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, you're very well. Really nice to have you. So I'm going to put you on the spot now. How many Fort William Mountain Festivals have there been now?
This will be our 22nd year of the Fort William Mountain Festival.
22nd? I had no idea. I thought maybe 12, you know?
No.
22nd. Presumably it started out pretty small, did it?
It did, yeah. So 22 years ago, it started really with a couple of the outdoor shops in Fort William coming together to put on some films. And it's grown ever since from there.
Wow, it certainly has. Yeah, that's amazing. So you've got, coming along, Hamish Frost and Ryan Balhari on mountain photography. What are they doing?
So they've got an event on the Saturday afternoon, if I'm right. We've got so many events, it's actually quite hard to get my head around. So they've got an event called Behind the Lens, Scottish Adventure Film and Photography. So it's actually not just Hamish, but it's Hamish Frost, Ryan Balhari, Rachel Sarah and Johnny Cook. So it's sort of a conversation about capturing adventure in the Scottish mountains, the realities of photography and capturing adventure between all of them.
Right. And so what for you do you think is going to be the highlight of the festival this year?
Ooh, so I've got a few things that I'm really looking forward to.
Okay.
I always really look forward to our Saturday night, our main event on the Saturday night. It's usually a climbing night, and it is indeed a climbing night this year. But we also, it's when we present our ambassador awards. And I can't tell you who's won them yet, because we haven't yet announced them.
Okay.
But I'm really excited about them. We've actually updated one of our awards this year. It used to be a youth award, but we've broadened the spectrum still to celebrate youth whenever we can.
Right.
But it's becoming more of an emerging award. We'd like to celebrate people, you know, even who are into their later years, who are only just discovering adventure, but also becoming, you know, really inspirational people who go and do really cool things and share it and enthuse others. So I'm really excited to kind of launch a new iteration of our Mountain Culture Awards. But I think
that's
the
Mountain Culture Awards, isn't it? What are the ambassador awards? What are they about?
So they are the same thing. So if you win one of our Mountain Culture Awards, then you become an ambassador for the festival.
Right. Okay. That makes sense now. And it's not all land-based though, is it? Am I right?
Nope. So we've got swimming events, we've got paddling events. We're actually quite excited to have a couple of paddling events on the Sunday. Some really interesting conversational style events with a paddler called Preetam Gurung. But then we've also got a really cool set of paddling films, a selection that we've had submitted to our competition. We were actually lucky this year to have an incredible set of films submitted to us. In fact, so many that we've wanted to show more than just the collection we've got at our film competition night, but we've got them scattered throughout the rest of the festival as well, because we've got such an amazing set of films. We're very lucky this year.
So what sort of films have you got? Which stand out to you?
Ooh, so there's a, we've got a film called Baffin Vacation. It's the kind of the second volume about some adventurers, Sarah McNeil Andre and Eric Boomer, on Baffin Island. And it's just a really good film, really good fun film, kayaking and climbing and adventuring. But also it's all about their partnership as a couple. And it's just really heartwarming. I really enjoyed the first one, and we'll be showing the second one. What else have we got? I mean, there's everything. There's a film about canyoning, which I'm really looking forward to seeing. I've not yet seen it, so I wasn't part of the judging panel this year for the films, but there's a film about canyoning in Scotland, which has just been this kind of, there's been, I guess it's not really an explosion, but there's been a real increase in people going out and exploring and finding new canyons through Scotland. And it's just this hidden world of adventure, I think, you know, going into these deep, dark places and finding ways to work your way down a river that's, you know, 20 meters kind of below land level, even in these like deep, dark chasms. It's just really cool.
Oh, that sounds desperate to me. Brilliant. Tell me a bit about one of the events that sort of caught my eye was, I'm not even sure if I'm saying her name right, Lily Cantor. And she's an ultra, a journalist, and she's author of Ultra Women, The Trailblazers Defying Sexism in Sport. What's your take on that? What is that about?
Well, it's very interesting that you asked that, because I've just come off of having taken a shot at running one of the spine races.
Oh, wow.
So myself and two others, one of which is Anna, who's also part of the festival team. We've just run the Spine Challenger North, the Winter Spine Challenger North, which is 160 miles along the Pennine Way.
Right.
And we were successful. And I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that we were part of a team. But the event really is all about women in ultra endurance and whether or not there is science behind women holding an advantage in ultra endurance.
Yes, that's my understanding, is that actually when you get beyond the 26 miles or whatever it is of the marathon, women's endurance is actually outstrips men. Is that true, do you think?
Well, the problem is there's been so little science done into women's bodies in medicine anyway. So this is really like kind of, it's quite cutting edge stuff, and lots of comes off of the back of people like Jasmine Paris, you know, winning and smashing the record on the spine race at the same time as breastfeeding and you know, pumping milk at checkpoints. She was using a breast pump to feed her baby. And then also going across to the States and finally a woman completing and finishing the Barclay marathons. And I think it's just like it's blown into the public eye, you know, women being in that world of ultra endurance running, and whether or not actually women are way, way stronger than, you know, anyone's ever believed.
Right. I can imagine, you know, particularly when you think about childbirth and rearing children, women would be a lot better at sleep deprivation, I would think.
Yeah, possibly. But I think the question is whether or not physiologically we are actually better made up for endurance. You know, whether the fact that we're better at storing fat, whether it's where we put on muscle. Yes, possibly sleep deprivation, but also the mental resilience and our tolerance of pain.
There must be a lot in that. Yeah, it must be incredibly painful. I do have to ask you, have you still got your toenails?
Yes, although one of them is actually very slowly turning black. So.
Oh, you're conjuring up such wonderful images. Oh,
I know, it's gross, isn't it? Perhaps by the festival I won't have that toenail anymore. But you never know, I might keep it.
They grow back, presumably, do they? Is that what happens?
They do, yes.
That's not too bad. So you're getting back. You're getting back eventually.
Then my feet will be just fine.
I only say that because I think I read No Map in Hell. I can't remember who wrote that now, but an amazing runner whose toenails dropped off quite regularly, I think. That sounds pretty horrendous. So there's also some creative writing events, is that right?
Yes, there is. Yeah, so there's a lot of outdoor workshops, but there is creative writing, there's art. We've got a really nice event on the Friday night called Mountain Voices, where we're actually going to we're going to show some of that on stage. It's a mixture of like spoken voice and creative writing, but also poetry, but also music. So that'll be really nice.
I get the impression the festival is as much about mountain culture as it is about the kind of sports. Is that a reasonable thing to say, you think?
Definitely. It's also something we're trying quite hard to branch out into. So lots of people maybe wouldn't even know this, but the Mountain Festival has got its umbrella organisation is called the Highland Mountain Culture Association.
Right.
And that's the association that oversees the organisation of Fort William Mountain Festival. And as a culture association, you know, we want to look at the mountains in from all different aspects. We want them to be as accessible as possible. And for those people that maybe aren't that interested in walking up them, but are super interested in writing about them or painting them, you know, they're very much still part of our family, our mountain family. So yeah, definitely. We're working quite hard to, I guess, broaden the scope of the festival and attract more people to come together, because actually someone who paints the mountains should feel completely at home in the company of someone who is winning ultra races, but also with someone who is climbing Mount Everest or someone who goes ski touring or someone who writes music inspired by the hills. So, you know, it's a coming together of all of those people.
Yeah. Cause it's all really, I think all these, I suppose, outdoor sports. It's about our relationship with landscape, really.
Exactly.
That's what lies at the heart of it all, I think.
Yeah.
And some people express it through running miles and miles or climbing very hard routes, and some people express it through writing and painting. It's just a different way of doing things, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
So it really sounds like the you've got a really exciting programme coming up, and it's growing every year, is that right? That's the impression I get.
Yeah, we had a bit of a boom. Well, so, I mean, I would say the festival has been through quite a lot of experimental iterations.
Right. Okay.
Before my time, the festival team attempted a two-week festival, which I think is incredibly brave.
Yeah.
Given that we're all voluntary. A two-week festival must have been an enormous undertaking. But we did. So in my time, this will be my ninth festival. And we have definitely grown it in the last couple of years. For our 20th birthday, we tried to really increase the number of events. We put more work on during the day. We put more talks and presentations on during the day as well.
Okay.
And actually it went really well. We're really keen to put on as many free events as well. We're really proud of that. The whole purpose of the festival is bringing people together. So we want to make it as accessible as possible. So, yeah, it kind of feels like we've stuck with a similar template to what we experimented with for our 20th birthday. And now for our 22nd, it feels like we're putting on more and more events every year.
Well, it generally feels as though the outdoor pursuits are really booming anyway. They certainly, I have the feeling that after COVID, after we were all locked away, people suddenly found that how important it was to get out in the outdoors, in whatever way you were doing it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And our purpose is to bring all of those people together for a weekend and party.
Oh, the party is very important, yes. So it sounds really like there's something for everybody. So I certainly would encourage anyone to go along and have a look. I'll put links to the website, obviously, and in this podcast page, and go along. And maybe actually, I think it's a great idea for everybody to maybe try and do something you wouldn't normally do. Because I think that's what I think festivals give you the opportunity to do, really. try something, you know, try your hand at something like that. I've tried my hand at canoeing with varying degrees of disaster, I have to say. but that doesn't mean that everybody else couldn't do it. So listen, I hope it goes really well. I'm sure it will be a fantastic event, and I hope you have a great party, if nothing else.
Indeed, I'm sure we will.
I'm sure you will. Anyway, Hannah Francis, thank you very much for talking to me, and I really want to be looking forward to hearing reports of what happens at the festival. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Climber Katie McCly is speaking at Fort William Mountain Festival this year, so I invited her along to talk about what she'll be doing. Hi, how are you, Katie?
Hi, Joanne. I'm really great today. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, I'm really interested in this massive trip that you undertook along with Kirsty. and I think it says linking 100 climbing routes across the UK. Tell us about this what sounds an absolute epic.
Yeah, so we wanted to link all the mountainous areas of the UK together by human power, and we're both climbers, so we were like, we might as well climb some rock climbs along the way, and 100 just felt like a good number to tick off as we went, so it kind of became part of this challenge that we set ourselves.
It's quite a lot. So yeah, where did you set off from then? Where did you start?
So we were down in North Wales to start with, so down at Cader Idris.
Ah, yeah. And then, okay.
From then on, we sort of kept going north up the country.
Right, so did you do some climbing in the Peak District on Gritstone then, or sort of on the way?
We didn't, because we didn't class that as a mountainous area.
Oh, that's about fair enough. Okay.
Initially, when we were going in the planning stages, it was sort of on the cards. But then as we were planning, we were like, oh, it doesn't really fit into the theme of what we're trying to do.
I suppose you can't actually climb everything in that sort of period, can you? And where did you finish up then?
We finished up on the Isle of Skye.
Right. In the Coolin.
Yeah. Yeah, which was pretty incredible. The weather was pretty horrendous, but it was a really nice place to finish. Quite Scottish.
Yeah, yeah. So what were the highlight routes, would you say, of that massive undertaking?
I think we highlight routes. That's a good one.
Oh, the questions are hard.
I did have a few favourite routes, but I really enjoyed a day that we had sort of in the Arriker Alps on the Cobbler. And I think we ticked off quite a few routes that day.
Sometimes the weather and how you're feeling and the rock just seems to combine, doesn't it? You know, you get those special days sometimes.
It was just really beautiful because we could see back down to the Isle of Arran, and we could sort of see where we'd sailed and cycled and climbed because it was just so clear, which is amazing. So I think the climbing part that day in general was just incredible. And we also had a really nice time up in Fort William, the first time staying in the CIC, and then we did all the ridges, which was incredible as well. So, like, just a super day out.
You did all the ridges in one day?
Yeah, absolutely. it was a really big day.
It sounds like it, yes. That's Northeast Buttress and all that sort of stuff, and Tower Ridge.
It was in the summer, yeah. It was in the, I think it was in May when we were in.
Brilliant. You must have been pretty knackered after all that, I have to say, at the end of that.
Yeah, we were pretty pretty destroyed, yeah. I think the climbing wasn't really that big a deal. Well, in terms of, like, physically, it didn't feel that tough, but the cycling was... Yeah.
For me personally, anyway. 1,600 kilometres, didn't you? Which is a fair old... and you climbed 10,000 metres of climbing in 32 days. That's what it says, anyway. My God. You must have gone through a few pairs of boots in that time, I would think.
Yeah, we definitely did, and waterproofs. especially in North Wales. North Wales, for some reason, just didn't let up on the weather.
Is that right?
Scotland, we had like at least every other day would give us a little bit of something, but North Wales just didn't give us anything. It was so wet.
But yeah, it can be pretty wet in North Wales. And you're coming back to Fort William for the festival.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
And what is it you're going to be doing for the Fort William Mountain Festival? What will you be talking about and doing?
So I'm talking on the Friday evening, on the People Power talk, and yeah, we're just going to be chatting hopefully about the journey and some of the things that happened along the way.
Is it called People Power, is it?
Yeah, so the event is called People Power that we're talking in.
All right, and is there any particular reason for that?
It's a human powered journeys that people have undertaken.
Okay. Now I've grasped it. Now it always takes me a while, you know. Okay. So, and have you been to the Mountain Festival before?
I have, not in a few years. So it would be really nice to come back to it. Daunting to be standing on a stage and talking about something, but I'm quite excited about that as well.
Well, considering what you've been doing, I think it'd be a lot easier than climbing 10,000 metres of rock face, actually. I think probably.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'd much rather do that.
I'm sure it's always a very friendly event, though, I find.
Yeah.
And it's very much, I don't know, it's like the meeting of the Scottish mountaineering community, really, coming together for a festival every year. And it's just grown and grown, isn't it, you know? So it's
just a nice atmosphere, isn't it? It'll be nice to be there, and I'm sure everyone will be lovely.
So what so you've obviously done this massive challenge, which I'm assuming has never been repeated, I would think.
I doubt if anyone's
ever going to do it. You hear about something, you think, I don't think that'll be done again, you know?
Yeah, like, why on earth would we do that? Yeah.
So what plans have you got for the future?
I don't have anything super exciting like that. I think definitely planned. There's a few like climbing challenges that I would like to set myself.
Right.
Like I think actually some locals like Ali Rose and I can't remember the other climber. They did a Glencoe Classic Rock link up a few years ago, and they did it in a day, and I'd quite like to go and repeat that at some point, I think.
Right,
so that's on the cards at some point, hopefully. But I've not got any actual plans set in stone at the moment. It'll just be, whenever it takes me.
Well, you've done a fair amount already, really, haven't you? So, but you're allowed to have a little bit of a break for it, you know. So that sounds really good. It sounds really exciting, and you know. So I hope you'll enjoy coming up here and talking again. And is there anything? Did you learn anything in sort of that you would want to convey to folk about what you did in your route? Is there anything did it change anything for you?
I think it just sort of reminded me that you can keep going even when things are really rubbish. Like if things will always get better if you do. It's definitely one of those ones where you had some really low, really trying to grit through it to get through it moments, but then when you're on those high moments, it was just so worth it. It was incredible. So I think it taught me a wee bit more of it. I am a bit more resilient than I maybe think sometimes.
Oh, right. Well, I think I'm less resilient than I think, actually. But I can, in fact, do less than I think I can. But that sounds a really good...
I'm sure that's not true.
I keep bar fairly low these days, you know. But that sounds really good. I think it'd be a great event. And I really hope you enjoy it. And I'm sure it won't be anything like as frightening as you think it's going to be.
Oh no, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's always a thought beforehand, isn't it? The
it
nerves
is.
And the
worst
and
bit
the
is that's right.
Lovely.
Okay, lovely to speak to you, and I really hope you have a great time at the festival.
You too, John. Thank you.
All right, take care.